What is happening, crew? It is Wednesday. It's time for a little next gen, next generation youth shooting sports competition. I don't know. It's typically a show that revolves around youth, and we're gonna be talking a little bit about positive and negative effects of video games tonight. It's something that we've touched on multiple times on multiple shows in the past, but we've never dedicated a whole show to it and have never really brought in any, I don't know, professional opinion on the subject. And I ran across a really good article. This one from a old website, blog, whatever, that is, what is it, raisesmartkids.com. So let me grab the... let me grab that link and have it ready, because I want to throw it out there. That way, those of you that can follow along can do that if you would like. But before we get on to that, let me just mention again, we are live here on YouTube. I know that Rick's stream earlier, there were some hiccups, so hopefully YouTube acts right and we can get through this. But... here is the link for the YouTube folks. Here's the link for gunchannels.com. That is a place where you can hang out. The format, the chat, pretty much everything there is better than YouTube, with the sad exception that we have to use YouTube in order to be able to broadcast. But the feed is all there, embedded in everything else. A whole lot of your the content creators you follow are probably over that way. So definitely go check that out. Speaking of that side of things, the Gun Channel side, it's like the Pants and Moon Food, 30 Clip of Scene, Dead Horse, and Night Wolf are hanging out over there. Over here, looks like we got Sean, Rob D., 12 Gauge, Ozzy, Mad Sexy, Mr. 1%, Vanessa Kitty. What else we got here? 30 Clip Zines over here as well. Phoenix in the house. Kenneth, Puccini, Recoil Junkie, Aria, Forty Cal Gal, The Sarge, Mr. Native Gun. Everybody's starting to get in now, so maybe notifications are working. Yeah, so let me run through my panel here. I got a few invites out, but Wednesday night's always kind of weird. I don't know. I think that's most people's nights to do specific things, and so they get tied up real easily. That's okay. Tardot is with us. If he is with us, anyway, you there, Tardot?
Yep, I am. Thanks for having me.
Sweet.
Hopefully, since I'm pulling a G-Webs and broadcasting from my vehicle, I don't have any disconnections here. The only difference would be is I actually decided to kick the camera on so everybody can, you know, see me here.
There you go. I don't have mine. I've got my bandwidth stuff turned down and then playing around with this new router. So we're not going to have any cam video on this end tonight, but that's okay. And the Reaper, Mr. Grimm's with us. How are you, bud?
Good evening. How's it going? And thanks for the invite. Just hanging out.
You bet. My clip is ain't out there. Said he wanted to hear me do Good Old Boys on karaoke. You know, I'm more and more regretting not doing the karaoke, but you will have to understand the situation in that there were several things with Saturday night that likely would not have turned out well if I would have went over there for the 4 hours or so they were over there at karaoke. Ate some Olive Garden that I'm thinking that's what it was. Didn't settle well with me. And, yeah, a few other things we won't talk about. Plus the long drive home I had to make Sunday was rough enough with the sleep I did get. So maybe next time, maybe they will decide to go out and do it on a night that the next day I don't have to drive for 8 hours or whatever. And that'll make it a little more tolerable. So let's get to this. Let me grab that link. I've got it up. I'm going to drop it I'm going to drop that bomb here on the gun channel side, and then I'm going to drop that also on the YouTube side. And I think, according to Night Strike, G-Webs, the rest of them, if that doesn't work, you can copy it, paste it, and put a hashtag, I believe it is, at the end of it to make it work. But that's what we're going to be going over. And essentially, it's about a month old, this article is. And it's 25 positive and negative effects of video games. Ah, Mr. Matt is back.
I am back, and I'm an avid video game person, so let's get into this. Sorry, I was having trouble inside Lowe's.
Oh, you're perfectly okay. I got to go to Lowe's tomorrow.
Speaking of Lowe's.
So, 25 positive and negative effects on video games. Written by Ronaldo Tumbokin, looks like. And it's a very, very long article. We're not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of go through here. So I suggest, again, it's from raysmartkids.com, and I'll drop the link. I suggest you go over there if you have some time. Read through the whole thing. Take a look at it. What we're going to look at first, because I thought that it was a little more interesting than the positives, so we're going to look at the negatives. And one thing that I did notice in reading through this article is there seems to be some contradictory information. It's just like anything else, but there's not really a consensus. And I think that may speak to several reasons as to why that is. I think maybe obviously all kids are different. So the way that they handle things, level of addiction in people, how easily they are. What is the word? Certain people are optimistic, certain people are pessimistic, some people are more realistic, that sort of thing. Just has to do with what type of person they are. And then also, I think, parenting and some things like that come into play as well, is why you see some of the contradictory stuff. But it's also important, I think, that we know some of the potentials, and that's why this is not only says it in the article here, but also the title of this particular podcast, which is potential. So got to be careful to identify those. But on the negative side, we'll jump in real quick here, and I'll bring up a couple of things, and then we'll run it through the panel, and that's kind of how we'll go. Now, I am reading this article, so if you're out there in the chats, as soon as I turn over to the panel, I'll try to get caught up with stuff. So be sure you tag me over there or something like that. That way I see that you have a question or an important comment. So here we go. It says, video games introduce your kid. Nope, I'm in the wrong section. Hold on. Golly. Okay, here we go. The drawbacks. It says, most of the bad effects of video games are blamed on the violence they contain, and I think that's true. Now, this article doesn't speak particularly to violent video games. It talks about some Super Mario games and Candy Crush and even some things like that. So we're not talking in this sense. We're not talking Call of Duty, shoot 'em up war games. That's not what we're talking. We're talking about a more comprehensive view of video games. But anyway, it says that most are blamed on violence, the violence they contain. So children who play more violent video games are more likely to have increased aggressive thoughts, feelings, and behaviors, and decreased pro-social helping, according to a scientific study. It says also, according to Dimitri Christaki of the Seattle Children's Research Institute, those who watch a lot of simulated violence, such as those in video games, can become immune to it, more inclined to act violently themselves, and are less likely to behave empathetically. But it says another study suggests that chronic exposure to violent video games is not only associated with lower empathy, but emotional callousness as well. And then it goes on to say this is a hotly debated topic, and that, there's debate between things, and that there's no consensus on it, that video games leads to long-term desensitization. That's a heck of a word to get out, and lack of empathy. It says a 2017 study published in Frontiers in Psychology, for example, did not find any long-term effects of playing violent video games versus empathy. And then another study from University of York found no evidence to support the theory as well. It says, on the other hand, APA, American Psychological Association, concluded that there is a consistent correlation between violent game use and aggression. Says, but it finds insufficient evidence to link violent video games to criminal violence. So it's an open letter published by a number of media scholars, psychologists, and criminologists. However, find APA study and a conclusion to be alarming. So many experts, including Henry Jenkins, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, have noticed that there's a decreased rate of juvenile crime, which coincides with the study that, you know, does not, just because it may lead to aggression, it doesn't lead to criminal violence, criminal acts, criminality. I don't know what the word would be for that. Anyway, it says that they conclude that teenage players are often able to leave emotional effects of the game behind when the game is over. Said, indeed, there are cases of teens who commit violent crimes and spend a lot of time playing video games, but they think that is more coincidences, it has to do with the person, not the video games. So, what that particular section is talking about is an increased tendency of aggression, to be aggressive, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're criminal. And then this last section here, and then we'll kind of talk about this, says some experts also believe that the effect of video game violence in kids is worsened by the game's interactive nature. Says in many games, kids are rewarded for being more violent. The act of violence is done repeatedly. So the child is in control of the violence and experiences the violence in his own eyes. Says this active participation, repetition, and reward are effective tools for learning behavior. I think that's true too, because it's gonna be interesting to get Grimm's perspective on that. But that is sort of how we teach, is participation, repetition, and reward. Pretty sound principles there. So it says, indeed, many studies seem to indicate that violent video games may be related to aggressive behavior. It says, however, the evidence is not consistent, and the issue is far from settled. So, sort of recap what we have talked about. That has been a mouthful there. Is basically what they're saying is that, this particular portion is talking about your more violent video games, and that while there really is not a consensus on opinion as to whether or not it's actually desensitizes kids and that sort of stuff, that there is seemingly a correlation here with increased aggression in kids. So with that, I want to pose that through the panel here. Do you feel that may be accurate? While it doesn't lead to criminal activity, doesn't lead to anything necessarily crazy, it you know, may indeed increase that, you know, those aggression tendencies. What do you think, Tardot?
Honestly, I think they're semi-right. I mean, to say that it doesn't necessarily lead to criminal activity, I could agree. Just because a guy's playing video games doesn't mean he's going to go out and become a gangbanger or something. But that's what I'm getting at. It doesn't give what their perspective of criminal is. Because if it's creating aggressiveness, that could be a problem. Because there are a lot of situations out there where kids, while playing some of these video games, have gotten hyped up about something happening in the video game. And have done things like swatting people and stuff like that, which can cause a lot of problems.
I could not tell you the number of, you know, you're talking back in the day, we had this chat on Monday on Matt's chat, as a matter of fact, but you're talking back in the day when, I was playing video games that, weren't really violent in the sense that they were talking about here with Call of Duty and that sort of stuff. And more often than not was Super Mario Brothers and stuff like that. And there definitely was aggression and violence for, somebody beating you or, frustration with not completing a level in a game or whatever it was. And there was a lot of broken controllers and things like that. So, there definitely was an element of aggression there. Now, I never went out and committed a crime because I lost at Super Mario Brothers, but.
Exactly.
I may have punched a wall or two or kicked a door,
And there was always some aggression just due to, I was the same way. There was some aggression due to the competitive nature. But then I can see where maybe taking these violent video games, it could cause a little more aggression in the person himself or herself in themselves. Right. A personality change to a point. And here's the thing is, with this article, they can't put, and I know it says, everything's potential. They can't put any kind of definite answer on any of this, no matter how much research they do, because it's all subjective. These kids that did show, maybe some criminal behavior or some more aggressive behavior doesn't mean the next kid's going to do it. It's a per kid basis. It's all subjective.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I said at first with the, kids are going to be different, just like adults are different and everything else. So we can't really generalize. Matt, bring you in here. As you said, you were a gamer. So
I'm going to go ahead and my thoughts are that it doesn't have to do with the interactive nature. Yes, all games cause a lot more aggressive. But I don't think it has anything to do with the video games any more than I think the violence problem is only gun violence. Because anybody who thinks that it's, due to just the fact that there's controllers and you can see a little plumber going across the screen has never played a game of Monopoly with three of their brothers that ended in a wrestling match with one of your brother's heads put in the wall.
Been many a coffee table flipped because of Monopoly.
Right. So I've seen way more violence over Monopoly than I have over a game of, I'm not going to say Mario Kart because that's the Monopoly of the video game world. But then I have over, a game of Street Fighter or something like that. And, I don't think it desensitizes you to violence because I've been playing video games my entire life since I was old enough to hold a controller. And admittedly, it might have been a little more than I should have. I'm going to go ahead and say I have good hand-eye coordination because of that. But, I wasn't any more aggressive or any I've never been in trouble with the law. I've never gotten into any illegal fighting. All the violence that I've ever practiced against other people was legally sanctioned wartime stuff. I'm going to go ahead and say no. I don't think that it has anything to do with video games. I think games themselves are what make you aggressive or, more likely to be competitive or something like that. I don't think it has anything to do with the video games.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think it has more. Yeah, I sort of agree with that. I get what you're saying.
Except for Mario Kart, which will turn your friends into the devil.
I could only imagine what Matt's household was with Mousetrap. All those little pieces, beating the crap out of each other.
Right, exactly. Let's see. Let me go to the chat here. I think Pants over on the Gun Channel side. He's saying, on the other hand, it can also be an outlet for aggression. And we'll get to that. We're going to get to the positives. We're just going through the negative side of things right now. So, if you're out there, if you're just joining, I'm talking about positives and negatives of video games on you. So don't jump in and wholeheartedly think that we're dogging on video games and stuff like that. We're just having the conversation and decided to start with the negative side first because it's generally the most unpleasant to try to talk about. That's a kid he's asked, does kids ever play outside anymore? I know mine did, of course. My oldest is, 20 now, so that was some time ago, but we had to pretty much force them to do that even back then. So I think as parents, it's your job and responsibility to make sure that they play outside. Don't lock them out in 115 degree heat or anything like that, of course. But at some point, kick them out the front door and lock it and say, go play for 45 minutes or an hour. Yeah, I don't see a whole lot there. So we'll go to Grim and get Grim's thoughts. What are you thinking about that, Grim?
I still don't think one has to do with the other. I mean, criminal activity, negligible, if any. If there's tendencies, they're not going to be tendencies from the video game. I mean, sure. like we've talked before, you know, kind of the at-home situation would probably play more into it. The aggression, I can see. I mean, I see the, you know, a lot of the students that, you know, you can see they're slightly more aggressive, but not in any manner that would, you know, more like rough horseplay, like we used to do. You know what I mean? That, you know, like you said, you know, I don't know, I can beat you, you can beat me, pushing, shoving, but nothing that leads, you know, nothing that leads to any big violence. I mean, that's just what I see, you know, and I'll ask them, because I straight out ask them. I'm like, well, they're like, no, it's fake. You can't do that in the real world. I'm like, okay, I'm just checking, making sure when you're playing, you know, Halo, Call of Duty and all that, you're not, and they're like, oh, no. So, I mean, they do understand, but, I mean, it depends on each kid. I still think it's one of those things. You can kind of see the ones that it will affect, and maybe you don't want that kid playing a video game, you know. It might desensitize that one, you know, individual basis, but
well, I think
for the majority.
And I think we talked about it before, and I think that most people will agree that there needs to be some moderation regardless.
Yeah.
You know, letting your kid play video games from the time they get home from school till the time they go to bed solid with no chores in between or, you know, study time or, you know, anything else like that. That's ridiculous. I mean, giving them an hour of video time a day, or, you know, limiting it, structuring it somehow. We've talked about structure at great length when we talk about kids. So I think with all of those factors in play, it makes a difference. Trauma jock out there is mentioning violent movies, and it does say in what I read when it started off, it's talking about violence. It's not. And they're putting it in the perspective of video games, but yeah, it certainly could apply to movies as well. And I think that's why, you know, and I don't think it's just violence. Again, as we jump off a little more into this, and I know we've spent nearly a half hour on just this one section, but as we jump off into this, there'll be some things that we see. It's not really, we're not picking on Call of Duty and stuff like that. And I think the same way with movies. You know, I think that movies with lewdness, sexual situations, nudity, whatever, language, other things can be, you know, just as big of a problem, if not moderated, as violence. Go ahead, Tardot.
Oh, all I was going to say is I was going to agree with you on the whole moderation thing. That's the biggest problem, is I could see desensitizing a lot of kids, not just the little loner kid that a lot of people see, but just it could desensitize a lot of kids if all their interaction is to a screen. And this is coming from a guy who talks to a screen the majority of the day. So, but yeah.
Right. Okay. So let's jump back into this real quick. Again, we're still in the negative side of things here. Figure out where I was at. Here we go. It says in 2017, this is getting into, I thought this was really interesting. This gets more into the brain issue. So, cause we know that, you know, kids are developing. We know until the early 20s or so, you don't have complete brain development and stuff. So, this is talking about a study from the University of Montreal suggests that playing video games like the Call of Duty, so they're specifically referencing the violent video games and stuff, could actually be harmful to the brain. So that most of the participants in the study, or most of the participants that are the gamers, I should say, use an area of the brain called the caudate nucleus. This is where we're going to get real geeky and nerdy, I guess, in the medical sense. But it says these players navigate through the game terrain using in-system navigation tools or on-screen GPS, and they're relying on navigational habit instead of active learning. So what they're saying is it's more of a muscle memory. They know in this game that they turn left here, turn right there. And they're seeing that on the map. In other words, there's a flag, right? There's some kind of flag or something on the screen, and they run towards the flag. They don't have to actually try to find something themselves, I guess is what that's saying. It says, it appears that this causes an increase in the amount of gray matter in the caudate nucleus, while it decreases in the hippocampus. This reduced gray matter in the hippocampus has previously been linked to higher risk of brain illness, including depression, schizophrenia, PTSD, and Alzheimer's. And it says, however, players who play games that require players to navigate using spatial strategies, again, difference between on-screen navigation and spatial strategies, says like the 3D Super Mario games, have increased brain matter in the hippocampus. And I don't want to jump out. Let's talk. We can talk about that a second, because this next section jumps off more into the social aspect of things. What, any response to that, Tardot?
Not really. I'm not a rocket surgeon or a brain scientist, so not really.
Right. Guitar Man's asking, is he without a feed? There's been some issues, I know, and if he don't have a feed, then he probably can't see this, but I had to refresh like 3 times during Rick's chat earlier because the feed just dropped on me, so I don't know what the deal was with that. I mentioned that at the top of the show. So out there in the chat, if you hear that, they're talking about they're not getting a feed or whatever, just refresh. Matt, bring you in here. What do you think about the difference, potentially the difference between what the brain is doing and learning when it opposed to when they got to figure things out as far as a map, as opposed to them being given a map?
Well, I mean, obviously you're going to develop a different set of skills by doing, different actions. That's just self-evident. If you're used to using a map all the time, you're going to be good at using a map. If you're used to using a GPS all the time, then yeah, you're not going to be as good at finding places without the GPS. And that's not just, obviously that's not just a game thing. You can actually see that with people who have had smartphones their whole life. They can't get down the street without a GPS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
But they have 1,000,008 features on their GPS that I don't get. And, it's just a different skill set. I don't think it's necessarily negative. It's just different.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Graham, interested to hear yours, because I know that, I know with kids learn differently. So you have those that learn by hands-on, those that can learn by reading instructions. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it depends on the individual kid. I mean, some, you got spatial awareness. Like you said, there are kids that it is amazing that how quickly they can pick it up. And I have others that you show them something visually, you show them a map and they can figure it out. Like Matt was saying, there are some that without their phone, they have no clue what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
All we know is, and I'll ask them, hey, how'd you get to, Buffalo Wild Wings? Oh, I just hit the button and said, take me to Buffalo Wild Wings. And literally, they couldn't tell you which way, right or left, they went, even from landmarks. Mm-hmm. Like when we used to use landmarks, hey, turn at the big tree, take a right, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's amazing how. And even in some of the games, the kids have learned how to, what's the one, Minecraft, mm-hmm. when they're navigating, they mm-hmm. just, that spatial awareness for them, that abstract spatial awareness is just easy. I mean, it comes to them naturally, and I don't know. It just depends on each one. Me, I'm visual. Give me a landmark, heading. I'll head that way,
Right, exactly. Okay, so moving on here, we'll talk about, it gets into, I'm scrolling here, good Lord, we needed like a 3-hour show for all of this. I don't know how I thought I could get, we might have to do the positive next week. anyway, it, it goes on and it gets into some social stuff here. It says, too much video game playing could make your kid socially isolated. So it also, they may spend less time in other activities, doing homework, reading sports, interacting with the family, friends. It says, on the other hand, a study by researchers of North Carolina State University, New York, and University of Ontario Institute of Technology points out that gamers usually do not replace their offline social lives with online game playing, but rather it expands them. I'm not sure I agree with that, but says, in fact, among gamers, being a loner is not the norm. Then it says, some games can teach the kids the wrong values. Gets into the violence and the aggression. And it says, the thought of negotiating, or nonviolent solutions, are often not options that are available. Everything pretty much is met with force. Then it gets into some sexist stuff here. It talks about women are often portrayed as weaker characters and, more, helpless and or sexually provocative, the way that they're portrayed in the games. So, then it says, gamers who play violent games may feel guilty about their behavior in the virtual world, and this may make them more sensitive to the moral issues they violate during gameplay. It goes on to say that that video games can often confuse reality with fantasy. Says here that... and I think, again, we get into the moderation issue, but it says that the academic achievements are often negatively affected at a rate to overall time spent playing the video games, which I don't think many, if any, will typically argue that. Says that studies find that gamers routinely skip their homework to play games. And even the students themselves admit that their game habits are probably responsible for their poor grades. It says here that although some studies suggest that playing video games enhances a child's concentration, other studies, such as a 2012 paper published by the Psychology of Popular Media Culture, have found that games can actually hurt and help children's attention issues, can improve the ability to concentrate in short bursts, but potentially damage long-term concentration. Let's talk about that for a minute, because I find that interesting. And that's where this gets into an issue that, you know, there's a yin and a yang here, it seems like to me. There's positive. Reading this was kind of weird because there's positives and negatives. It's like, okay, this is good here, but then it could be bad here. And I sort of see in a way with what that's talking about because, yeah, I mean, you would have to concentrate on the game, of course, but then once that particular piece of that mission is over, you've moved on to something else. So a lot of times it's not long-term concentration that you're doing. Any thoughts on that, Tardoc?
Actually, a little bit. They talk about the whole loner aspect of it. While I didn't make a comment about that earlier, I think when they're playing games alone, that could add to that. But when you start playing like, and I'm going to show my age a little bit because I played a lot of MMORPGs when I was younger, but like EverQuest and stuff like that. When you start playing a lot of those games, you're forced to interact with other people in the world that are also playing that game. Given it's not true human interaction, but you are talking to other people, especially if you're doing any of the online chatting while you're playing those games. So, yeah, it's a different form of interaction, I believe. So I don't think it necessarily, depending on what they're doing and who the kid is, it doesn't necessarily take away from their human interaction. It actually, depending on what game they're playing, it gives a little bit back to that. As far as the concentration aspect, I can see both sides of it. Honestly, I could see it improving a kid's concentration because when I was younger and I played video games heavily, I could sit down in front of a game and 4 hours could go by and I didn't even realize it because I was so focused and concentrating. I think the big problem is what they're concentrating on. You know, you talked about kids even admitting that the video games interfered with their homework. I mean, it's not so much that it's hurting their concentration. It's probably helping their ability to concentrate. It's just they're too focused on that one thing rather than doing homework or something else.
Yeah, it's taking time away from the other things, I think is what they're getting at, rather than actually, I don't know, keeping them from a cognitive standpoint, I guess, from being able to do that homework. Matt, you sort of hit on this, you know, a minute ago when we talked about there kind of being two sides to that coin. What do you think? You think it can be both a, you know, both an asset and a hindrance?
You know, something that interests you, if you do it right, will always improve your focus because you'll be concentrating on that thing and you'll be wanting to do it. If something does not interest you, then all the checks in the world will not help you concentrate on it without, you know, maybe pharmaceutical help. You know, when I was a kid, they diagnosed me with ADD, and we won't get into that right now, but, you know, when I wasn't playing games, if something didn't have my interest, I would pull out a book and read in the middle of my classes. And they couldn't say I was being disruptive or anything, but, you know, if it has your interest, it'll help you focus. If it doesn't, then there's nothing anybody can do to change that besides making whatever the subject matter is more interesting.
Right.
So I don't think video games help or hinder in that way. I think that they're just there.
Yeah. And I believe, you know, as we're going down this rabbit hole, I believe that, you know, and even this article, again, let me tell you what, let me grab this while I'm thinking about it and throw this link out there again and definitely save this link, copy, paste it, save it. And go back to it later and check it out for those out there in the chat. It's a pretty interesting read. Cause that's what I got out of it is like there's good things, there's bad things, and sometimes they both relate to one issue. And it's like, it really speaks to how, it really depends on a lot of different factors with that particular kid. Bring Grimm in here because the whole attention span thing, being able to concentrate, I know he has to deal with it regularly, probably, that he has kids that he says, here's your assignment, do this, and he never has to say anything again. And you probably have those that you have to remind them every 5 minutes. So what do you think about that, Graham?
What assignment?
What?
That's exactly what I get. What assignment?
When did you tell us that?
You tell us that? Or you get the, you never told me that. You know, but Matt is kind of right, though. I don't think it helps or hurts. I think it's back to what you were saying earlier, that time management, and then Tardot had said. I mean, I have students that they'll tell me, they're like, I don't mean to be rude today, but I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, doing what? And like, I was on a video game for 12 hours. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay. I was like, so you don't have the work done. Yeah, that's basically what I'm trying to tell you.
Right.
I mean, so I don't think it helps or hurts. I mean, I think the other social media stuff does more instant gratification and, you know, shortens their attention span than the video games. I mean, that's just me personally. But, yeah, I don't think it helps or hurts. It goes back to that time management. I mean, you know, you get so involved. It's like any of us. We get involved in something and by the time you know it, 2 or 3 hours have gone by. I mean, for some of my students, I mean, I have one or two. They play lots of video games. They get focused, and anything we do in class that relates to it, oh, they're on it. They want to know more, and they want to know even about this. Like, I was talking to a student about his YouTube channel, telling him some of the stuff you had told me. I didn't say, you know, I was, and he would, I tell you, he was laser focused. He was writing things down.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on that part there.
Right. So the next part here, that I want to talk about, and then hopefully before the show ends, we'll have a few minutes to at least hit on these positive bullet points, but most likely we'll have to cover those next week. But this is actually getting gets back into some health related stuff. And I don't think when we're talking about unregulated, unmoderated, you know, gameplay, like Grim was talking about, the 12 hour stints and not sleeping. This is where this certainly comes into play. And there's definitely truth to it, but it says, kids spending too much time playing video games may exhibit impulsive behavior, and have, attention problems. Goes on to say that, study. Oh, where's it at? here we go. So the study shows video games may also have bad effects on some children's health, including obesity, video-induced seizures, which is something that I actually have a little bit of experience with. My brother-in-law had a girlfriend that had a daughter, and like anime, and you know, Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, some of the stuff like that. I guess that's considered anime. I'm not a big nerd when it comes to types of cartoons. But stuff like that, they couldn't let her watch that. Just the visual colors and the way they flipped around on the screen and stuff. And then it says, muscular, skeletal disorders, tendonitis, nerve compression, carpal tunnel syndrome. And all of this to me speaks to, again, with moderation, regulation, that sort of thing, the time that's spent on it. Obviously, if you spend a lot of time, you know, sitting, you know, you're going to have final, you know, compression and stuff like that. I think probably we all agree on that, correct, Tardot?
Mute.
Not.
Yeah, he's
he may be busy. He said he's not.
Oh.
He jump back.
I'm back.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Yeah, sorry, I muted myself instead of unmuting myself. I agree. It affects the health aspect, definitely. You know, you're talking about like the spinal compression, things like that. And then, yeah, that's not even going into weight. You know, that's a bigger issue. There's, you know, kids mm-hmm. that just sit there and play games for 12 hours straight. No real exercise. They're not going to be healthy at all.
Right.
You know, I'll admit though, there's times my kids, you know, we were talking about the attention thing and all that before. We do not have a game console in the house, and my kids, they do not want to pay attention to us at all. But of course, that's just the terrible twos and threes.
Right. Right. Matt, pretty much agree.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by terrible twos and threes. My 3-year-old is an angel, and she is perfect in every way and has never done anything wrong.
Some are.
Her mom's daughter, on the other hand, has been a little terror sometimes, but
right.
Yeah, I think it has, you know, it doesn't have anything to do, again, with the games themselves.
It's not the activity. It's not the activity per se. Yeah.
It's the sitting there staring at something. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's books. It doesn't matter if your hobby is making popcorn dolls. If you do the same thing for 12 hours in a row, you're not doing something else.
Right.
Like, even if all you do is exercise all day, then you're not stretching your mind. Well, it's a moderation of everything.
Yeah, I mean, look at something. I mean, you made a good point. Look at something like seamstress hump, right? I mean, you know, the ladies that sew or whatever, and they got the tilted shoulders. Because
exactly.
They sit in that position and sew all the time.
You need to have a balanced life the same way you need to have a balanced diet. You need to do different things all the time. You can't just do the same thing for 12 hours a day, every single day, and expect it not to have a lasting impact.
Now, Trauma Jock out there is mentioning his kids played the Dance Dance Revolution. Yeah, and on Mass Chat the other night when we were talking about game consoles, that's why I brought up the Wii. I think I was the only one that did. And even with the PS2, it was Rock Band and Guitar Hero. And I don't know if you ever played drums on Rock Band, but good Lord, you talk about get a workout now. The drums on Rock Band.
I used to be awesome at the drums on Rock Band.
You will be sweating, I promise, by the time that song is over. And as you go up higher in the level, I mean, it's even worse. So that's definitely a workout. With the guitars and stuff, I'm not real sure. But we were up moving usually when we played it. You know, we were like on stage, you know, type thing. So we were moving around the room and all that. So there was movement at play. And then with the Wii,
well, yeah.
Like I said, you had all this movement going on as well. And I'm happy to see they were talking about the Kinects and some of the other stuff on some of these newer consoles and things that I'm not familiar with, unfortunately. But I'm glad to see that there's at least they're trying to incorporate those aspects into the games, because that can help. I mean, that can be an alternative. Maybe, you know, okay, so it's Saturday and my kid's going to play 2 hours or whatever of video games. So, you know, you can limit the type of video game. You say, okay, you can play this one. You can play this one for an hour, you know, the Call of Duty or whatever, or the strategy game that you're just sitting there like a bump on a pickle. But first you're going to play this one, you know, go play some Dance Dance Revolution or Rock Band or Wii Bowling or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I mean, if you play Rock Band or Guitar Hero while you're sitting down, then you're a tool.
Right. Like, it kind of defeats the purpose. Yeah. I don't know how you could do the drums. I mean, I just want to say the drums, I mean, you need both arms and both legs for that, and about 8 more of each. In my opinion. So, yeah, let's close out real quick the negative stuff here, whatever that I wanted to talk about. And the next gets back into a social thing. And it says that a study by the Minneapolis-based National Institute for Media and Family suggests that video games can be addictive for kids. I think that's a duh point. We've pretty much nailed on that pretty heavily. And it says that the kids' addiction to video games increases depression and anxiety. And so I think that's, we can probably agree to an extent on that. And then it goes on to talk about a disconnect between, I wanted to end the negative on this note, because we talked about this many times before about how parents need to be parents, and you know, there's a family structure at play. Even if it's a single parent home, there still needs to be a family dynamic and a family structure in play, I think. Kids need that. It's pretty much undisputable. And this talks about how, you know, if that kid is playing Candy Crush or whatever on the way to school on their phone or whatever, then there's no conversation. That's, in other words, that's a good time to be talking about how you're going to start today. What are you going to do today? Same way when they first get home from school and they run straight to that video game. You know, there's no discussion over, well, what happened today? It talks about, you know, how kids, they need time to daydream. They need time to deal with anxiety. And I'm actually reading this from the article. They need time to process their thoughts and events of the day and all of that kind of stuff, and then share them and have that discussion with their parents. So basically what it's saying is that games tend to take away from that parent-child dynamic as far as communication. And I think that's a very important thing. Again, this gets back into my opinion, and I'm sure that the panel agrees, with a moderation issue. Tardot, what say you?
Well, it could take away from the family, especially the family aspect, if you're, you know, if they're playing something like Call of Duty or something, but it doesn't have to. It's kind of like you were saying about Rock Band, and, you know, they've got little games for the Wii and all that where it's your, what is it, Mario Party and everything, where you got up to 8 people playing. I mean, that, to me, could become the, you know, Monopoly or Chutes and Ladders or whatever else of our time. Those types of games, like you said, you were saying it earlier, take the time, you know, you're going to play this game, and then, you know, if you want to play an hour or whatever of Call of Duty or something, then we can do that. But you're going to play this family game, and we're all going to join in and have fun, and, you know, it becomes that, it's board game night, pretty much.
Right. Yeah, and that's a good point. It's a valid point, and I think that's true, but I still think, again, you still get into the moderation thing, that they need time for other things, or need to, because there's no. This is a really big pet peeve of mine, and we, honestly, we as a family didn't do a very good job of it. So I mean, I can raise my hand and claim guilty, as well to an extent. But you know, there's just no family dinner time anymore, and that to me, that was a time where, and I can remember that growing up, and we still have Sunday lunch at my grandmother's house, and that's a time when the family gets together and they sit around the table and they talk about what they've done and what they're going to do and bounce ideas off each other, and you know, there's a support structure there in a way and other things. And so replacing that type of a scenario with a family gaming, the family gaming thing is great as an addition to spend extra time doing something that everyone enjoys with the kids. I get it. But replacing one with the other, I guess, is where I'm coming down. That I don't think that's a healthy family dynamic.
Oh yeah. Replacing it's a horrible idea, and to replace like your family time as far as family dinner at the table, stuff like that. We're horrible about it too. We used to be really good about it around the time me and Gunpowder first got married, that me, her parents, the kids, when they were born, would all sit around the table and have dinner. Our conversations weren't always so much what we're going to do, but, we went down some rabbit holes with our conversations, but we were having that family time.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly. Matt, get you in here.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry. What?
Oh, you're fine. He said, sorry. What?
Yeah. Dude, I was playing a game. I was not paying attention to.
Right. Exactly.
No, I'm kidding. I was paying attention to the chat. Sorry.
Well, sometimes that is a game.
I'm just trying to find somebody to write me a theme, like a jingle. I think it would be great to have one of those at the beginning of my videos.
Oh, my God.
So what are we talking about?
What were we talking about? You done threw me all off. Most recently we were talking about, that family dynamic to where you have that family dinner.
Monday, my family and I roll over to my sister's and we all have a big dinner. And then Wednesdays, they all come over here and we have dinner. And I think that's important. It's an important time to bond and spend that time together. And every night, my sister's family, they, without fail, come together and have dinner. Everything goes off. TV's off. Books are away. Everything. No phones at the table. None of that. And they all have their dinner together. And, sometimes it's only 15 to 20 minutes. But it's important to have that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Cool. Well, agreement there. Graham, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I have to agree. You got to make the time, although it's at times with our lives now it's difficult, but we try and do that 3 or 4 times. She's usually the one getting on me about it. No, you have to spend the time. I mean, the game isn't a replacement, but we have done that, like Tardot was saying, connect that the kids have, not that they play it that often ever, but there's a couple of games and a water rafting game that you do that 2 or 3 times, and I'm usually on the couch after that huffing and puffing. Because the only way to control it is you have to either jump higher, move farther, or stretch.
Game is a blast.
It is a blast, but after like third round, you're like... But, we do that with the kids, and she's really good at staying on me about that. We're trying to incorporate more time instead of video game time. But the one thing I am hardcore on is they get 1 hour a day. And I literally will not charge their iPads every day. You get a charge every other day. I know that sounds so mean, but I do it on purpose. I want them to conserve, figure out how to, work it. And, you get 1 hour after that.
But how are you going to keep them home if you have to bug out and it's dead?
I know, exactly. And I do make, like today, it actually got to 65 out here. I got home from work and we went to the ball field. Like, you guys want to go? Sure. And, we went 2 blocks, and so we're away from the house on purpose instead of going to the backyard so they can't run back in, and we spent 1.5 hours over there. So, but it is tough. I mean, yeah, but again, in moderation, I guess it's back to the family dynamics. You have to, you have to force yourself, but we've all, there are days you're tired and you're like, oh yeah, you get an extra 30 minutes on the iPad today.
Right. And I think moderation is if there ever was an actual answer 42, right? Moderation is pretty darn close to the answer to most problems in the world. It's like, if you can just moderate, regulate the time you're spending doing something or your exposure to said thing or whatever, that's usually a really good answer to a lot of things. So I want to hit on, and we're going to split this up. We're not getting to the positives because we just now finished the negative. So this is going to be a two-parter, and that gives me, an extra topic for next week. So we're going to spend a whole hour next week talking about the positives. I will put out a teaser, and I will just go through the bullet points on the positives here real quick. And some of the positives that this is mentioning is problem solving and logic, hand-eye coordination, fine motor skills, spatial skills, planning, resource management, logistics, multitasking, simultaneous tracking of shifting variables and multiple objects. Boy, that was a mouthful. Quick thinking, making fast analysis and decisions, accuracy, strategy anticipation, situational awareness, developing reading and math, perseverance, pattern recognition, estimating skills, inductive reasoning and hypothesis testing, mapping memory, concentration, improved ability to rapidly and accurately recognize visual information, reasoned judgment, tasking risks, how to respond to challenges, how to respond to frustrations, how to explore and rethink goals, teamwork and cooperation when played with others, management, and simulation real-world skills. So there is your bullet points for the for next week. What will be next week's topic, which will be the positives on this. And I'll retitle this one and make sure that it's retitled part one. That way everybody understands that we're not against video games. We just did not get to the opposite side of that coin. But let's run this through the room before we shut her down here. Tardot, you got something for us?
Yep. Just make sure to check me out, www.tardotproductions.com. And, of course, Tardot357 on YouTube and everywhere else. With us getting back from Wanamaker and Tulsa and trying to get refocused, we're, we've gone through all our swag and everything else that we've got for the channels, and, we're going to be doing some giveaways coming up. And I know I got a patron only one I'm planning for tomorrow.
Well, just send it all to me and I'll make sure you can trust me. I'll disperse it for you. Matt, Mr. Karma, what you got?
Well, I just got my Nook working again, which is outstanding. I know none of you realized I was having issues, but it was
medicine.
Not working.
They got medicine for that. You know that, right?
For my Nook? That's weird.
They got some creams and different things like that.
I don't think I should put cream in my e-reader.
Nookie?
But, so that's exciting. I just want you guys to know that's a thing that's going well in my life.
Sweet.
Oh, check out my channel, I guess, 50 Caliber Karma. If you have any questions, always feel free to email me, 50calibrekarma@gmail.com, spelled exactly like my logo there.
You need to do a follow-up debate eventually, because that was awesome.
I'm going to try. The thing is, Braden travels constantly.
Yeah, it's hard to. Yeah.
Catching him somewhere that he has good enough internet to do that, and also when he's up to date with American, whatever's going on in America at the time, and when he's not doing a photo shoot, is kind of a hard thing to do.
Right. Yeah. He's a busy man, what you're saying.
So. Yeah.
Grim, what you got, bud?
All right, I guess if I unmute. You guys, check these guys out, all the stuff they did in Tulsa, and make sure you're keeping up on the 2A rallies here. We got a lot of stuff going through, a lot of different bills. I know here in Illinois, they're trying to revive 4 of them. So, keep up the fight. We got to make that noise. Anyone that I'm going to throw this out there, anyone here, near or Southern Illinois or anything, IGOLD, the Illinois Gun Owners Association lobby, is going to be throwing a large rally. They've gotten hold of gun clubs. And everyone on the 25th at 11 a.m. So that's going to be their big thing here. They're trying to do the FFL thing again, get rid of 50 BMGs, the supposed high-capacity magazines, blah, 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 blah. They're all trying to do that. So everyone, be loud.
No, be loud, be proud, all right?
Yeah,
that's it. I will be back for after hours. Yeah. Nerd Chat tomorrow, 11 Eastern. Well, Firearm Friday, again, going to be a special one. We will have the owners of Tandem Cross on for that. And then obviously, if you're listening to this in replay or if you're out there live, remember next week on this show, we'll cover the positives. We want to be, as Fox would say, fair and balanced here. So that's it. We're out of here. Have a good week. Good weekend. Have a good Wednesday. See you guys later.
Yeah, I'll catch all you later tomorrow.